Okay, since we're all here, I believe, I'll start the meeting at 5 o'clock p.m. Is there an approval for the agenda?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
Carmina, second. Okay, Carmina, second.
You. Thank you. Is there an approval to... Sorry, is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes from January 11th program committee meeting?
A motion to approve the minutes.
I second. Moving on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on the agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Andrea, do we have any public comments at this time?
No public comments.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to old business, the grant payment schedule, which is located on page 8 of the packet. Does anyone have any questions regarding this information? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to program updates, which is progress and final report update located on pages 9 through 20. Does anyone have any questions regarding the material provided in the packet?
Can you give me 1 second to catch up? Can someone go into a little bit more detail on the item on page 20? Was this all they gave?
Who can provide information?
Karen, this is the information you requested from grant makers concerned with immigrants and refugees, that you wanted to have more local data that had not been reported in the original final report. They had mentioned in their final report that the money they had given to Alianza for assistance to residents, that Alianza affected 1,260 households, families. So this was the local breakdown in the Coachella Valley of the by gender and all the other columns you see of the people who received financial assistance in the Coachella Valley through Alianza, through the fund that was administered through GSER. Grant makers concerned the immigrants and refugees. So this was the information you had requested.
Okay, thank you. I guess I was hoping, like, this tells me a lot, but it doesn't tell me where. I think the original report might, but that was my issue with it too. Like, it was just super vague and it could have been written about like literally any Latinx immigrant community in like California.
They did mention in their report that they did not collect where people lived because they're afraid of the immigration status. People did not want to give the city where they were living, residing in at the time this assistance was given out. And they did that with all of their grantees, not just here in the Coachella Valley.
That makes sense. Thank you. Obviously, like for me, the most powerful point of information here was like primary occupation.
Mm-hmm.
They were giving money to people who are like employed somewhere in the Coachella Valley. These folks are working and they're making money. That's the other second piece of information that's missing. for me in the psych report is how much money, right? Like we gave the grant makers certain amount of funds. We were told those funds would come back at certain amounts, but like there's just big gaps of information that if they come back and ask for money again, like it's really difficult to be like, oh yes, the evaluation you shared with us about the work you did is spot on, and I can point to some of these really important data sets that will help me make an informed decision about like granting you in the future. And I think
sure. And I probably should have included the original final report, because if I recall, Alianza was given a distribution of 150,000, which was basically what we had, contributed to overall grant makers in health. And so the average check, I believe, was about a little over 900,000 or to each family. So it was, you know, equaled out to 1,260 families that were affected. And a lot of this was also to, even though they are employed, you know, it was to probably fill in gaps that for food and other kinds of emergency assistance, rental, things that they couldn't afford, just like what Lift Your Eyes did as well for people, even though they were employed, they were losing their jobs, they were afraid of losing their homes, or somebody was sick, so.
And I guess that's like my third concern. The reports that we got from Lift to Rise and the reports that we got back from Grantmakers Concern are not apples to apples, and to some extent they should be, and they're not. And so again, it just makes it really difficult for us to come back and assess, is giving pass-through money something that we should do or something that we should not do if we can't literally tell people this is exactly where the dollars were spent. I think in the grants before this, in some of the reports we got back from DAP and from, I'm blanking on the other organization, but like it's very clear that if someone came and asked, where are our dollars going? Here you go. You like have clinicians that DAP hired, and they supported 25 people so far, and they're planning to spend the rest of it on X amount of staff to help 52 more people, right? Like it's a very clear conversation that we can have with people. And I also share this with you staff, because this is one of the biggest, when you talk about like nonprofits in the Eastern Coachella Valley, one of the biggest concerns for people in our different pockets of community is nonprofits come in and then they leave. People drop in and then they take off and we don't know what happened, right? Is that what our money... I know Alianza has like a very long reputation. They're here for us for the long term, but Grantmakers Concern, like, is this just a one-time flyover thing that they, right? So for many different reasons, this just grant report is, for me personally, very unsatisfactory. And it leaves a lot of questions to ask for future grants that might come in and ask for pass-through funds. I just want to share that with you all. From my end and my concerns. And again, like my concerns aren't about Alianza, my concerns are about Grantmakers Concerned and the organization itself and what they chose to report back to us. That's it. Those are my comments for this section.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Are there any other questions or comments regarding the program updates? Hearing none, we'll move on to grant funding requests for consideration to forward to the board. Grant number 1306, Olive Crest, general support for counseling and mental health services to vulnerable children and families in the Coachella Valley for $123,451.
So you see the application before you, and also the report, the staff report of what the use of district funds will be. We do have two representatives from, and I'm sorry, it does fit in with our strategic plan, our new strategic plan, goal 3.3. And we do have two representatives from Olive Crest in the meeting, Annabelle Godoy, I apologize if I pronounced your name wrong, and Walter Mueller, if you have any questions or comments, and they can address them.
Does anyone have any questions or comments?
Also, the executive director, Tracy Fitzsimmons, is here too. Hi, Tracy.
Does anyone have any questions? Karen or Carmina, do you have any questions regarding this grant request?
I do. Carmina doesn't.
Okay.
Can you all let us know where the rest of your funding is coming from? One of the things that I appreciated from the staff report, staff scoring at the bottom of this is how you all agreed, like this is a very well-sustained grant. The funding is there. I think one of you mentioned that the audit has been done on their financials and it's all there. I'm just curious, is this your only program? Are there other programs? And can you please share with us like the diversification and sustainability of the funding for this program?
Sure, I'd be glad to share that. Hi, this is Tracy Fitzsimmons. I'm not sure why you can't see me, but I'm sorry. I don't know how to turn my camera on. So the diversification is, this is a culmination of, we have several programs, many programs out in the Coachella Valley, as well as all of Riverside County. This is through our family preservation program and the interlinked way that it intersects with our new mental health counseling center. So we have the fee-for-service kind of arrangement with Riverside University Health System that provides fees for the units of service that are provided for the counseling. We also have 20 years in Coachella Valley of raising funds from individuals, mid-major donors, mass donors. So we have a good sustainability of relationships out there in the desert. For donations, we have high in kind, especially during peak times of the year, such as in December. We have, I don't know exactly what the number is of the total number of in kind resources, but we have done this for 20 years out in the valley, almost 50 years since the inception of Olive Crest. 2023 will be our 50th anniversary. And so, yes, we are in good, stable, you know, place for sustainability.
Thank you.
Karen, I would just like to point out too, and I think it carried over into the line item budget on page three, but on page one, there is other program funds. So they do show where they're bringing in over $1.7 million for their total project budget, of which they're asking for us $123,451. And it outlines the fees from the county, et cetera.
Thank you.
That's on page 32.
Those were on.
Okay, thank you. Are there any more questions regarding this grant request? Is there a motion to approve the grant then at this moment?
A motion to approve the grant.
Okay, is there a second?
I was muted.
Okay. So all those in favor of moving this grant to the board for consideration to approve? Say aye.
Aye.
Okay. So the grant will move forward. Next, we will move on to committee member comments. Are there any committee member comments at this time?
No.
Okay, so hearing none, we'll move to adjourn the meeting at 5:15 p.m. and move directly into the foundation part of the meeting. Our next meeting is on March 8th, 2022.
Thank you,
Val. Okay. I would like to call the meeting to order at 5:15 p.m. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
A motion to approve.
Carmina, second.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the January 11th meeting?
A motion to approve. I second.
Thank you. We'll move on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Are there any public comments at this moment, Andrea?
No public comments.
Okay. We'll move on to old business. Number one, grant payment schedule. The information is provided in the packet on pages 6 to 7. Does anyone have any questions regarding this information?
No, I don't.
Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to number two, which is the grant number 1034, City of Palm Springs, consideration to forward to the board recommendation to approve a request for a second no-cost grant extension through June 30th, 2022. Does anyone have any questions regarding this grant that they would like answered before we make a motion to approve or not approve?
I just had a curiosity killed the cat kind of question. If we don't approve this, what happens? Do they have to return the funds to us?
Yes.
Funds, all of them?
Yes. They have to return the funds, yes.
The 225,000 or just
the- No, the balance of 89,000.
Okay. Just curious as I was reading this. But I motion to approve this no-cost grant extension.
Okay, is there a second?
Carmina, second.
Okay. All those in favor to move this to the board for approval, say aye.
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 Okay, this, sorry, this grant will move forward to the board for final approval. Move on to number three, Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative. Part A, vaccination, education, and outreach. Is there any new information regarding this, the vaccination, education, and outreach?
Just a brief update. Today we started our first vaccination clinic with CVUSD, where the parents just signed off on the informed consent, and they didn't have to be there in person to vaccinate their child. The children were, the students were getting pulled from the classrooms directly and walked over by our promotoras to the gymnasium where we were having the vaccination clinic. And at last count, we had well over 40 students vaccinated today at a Cahuilla Desert Academy. And after 3 o'clock, those clinics open up to the general public. So any member of the community could attend these vaccination clinics once obviously the students are out of the campus, and then any after school activities were relocated to ensure that no adults would come in contact with any of these students, either doing ACEs programs or any athletic practices or games that they were having there at Cahuilla Desert Academy. And we'll continue this with 10 schools. And on Thursday, we'll be at Saul Martinez Elementary in Mecca. And that same day, we also have a second vaccine clinic at Desert Sands Unified School District, where we have 190 individuals registered for that vaccination clinic. And lastly, we partnered with Dr. Cheney and the UCR School of Medicine with their free clinic, and we will be providing testing this Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Mecca Library. So we're excited about that new partnership. And tomorrow will be the second day that we have our new fixed site in the eastern part of the Coachella Valley for vaccination testing. So we have partnered with Torres Martinez Tribe, and we will be having a fixed site every Thursday from 2 to 6 for COVID-19 testing there on site at the Tamika Gym inside of the Torres Martinez Reservation in Thermal.
Thank you, Alejandro, for that information. Does anyone have any questions for Alejandro or comments?
No, I don't have any questions. I just think that Alejandro, you're doing fantastic work, so thank you.
We'll move on to number, number four, addressing the district's role, advancing the district's role in addressing the healthcare needs of Black communities in the Coachella Valley update. So we have part A, One Future Coachella Valley Scholarship Fund. Information is provided on pages 40 to 41. Does anyone have any questions regarding this information? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to letter B. Access to Healthcare, Borrego Health Foundation. Information provided on pages 42 to 44. Does anyone have any questions regarding the updates or the information provided in the packet? Is there any new information that that you guys feel we should highlight or should know about addressing this?
No, it's business as usual. They're there every Wednesday, and they are going to be concentrating, I believe, on more communication outreach. But they are confident that people are still coming and pleased with that. But they're coming, and there also was a good turnout for the testing, which they were pleased with.
Thank you, Donna.
I think it's important to highlight that we can see the trajectory and how the numbers are picking up. They're seeing more and more clients in that community. We also see that there is a high number of clients that are seen in that community that are uninsured. It's about 30%. And it's my understanding that Borrego is working to make sure that those that are uninsured are explore any opportunities for them to be insured, because I'm sure they're most of them might qualify to be under Medi-Cal. Or emergency medical for their insurance. So it's a good service. The community knows it. When we were at the event on Saturday evening, we were approached by many of their community members thanking us for the leadership of the district and for bringing these services into the Desert Highland Gateway Estates, which contrasts dramatically with the other situation they're living here in Palm Springs, in which they're asking the city for better services, more services, and they're getting a homeless shelter that they are not very happy with.
Thank you, Conrado.
I'm sure you want to say something, Karen.
Hate to point out the obvious in a negative way, so I'll just point it out. At the end of the last graph on page 43, and the first graph on page 44. It's in the name of our grant, right? To support Black health. And the Black community is the third community, at least racially, ethnically, that is using our services, both it seems for teens and just in general. I don't have any questions. It's just a observation of what, I don't know. It's just an observation that I think needs to be put out loud. I don't think we can go this meeting without having just pointing it out. What I do appreciate is the high number of teenagers coming to the clinic, 12 to 17. Like, that was a very, very good indicator that word of mouth, like through the young people, right, who may not get the flyer when someone comes and knocks on their door, like whatever communication, however that communication is getting to them, to those young folks, I think is very important. I think it's also very important from like a customer standpoint, right? When you're able to establish good relationships with your customers at an early age, they become your long-term, almost forever, you know, brand loyalty and things like that. So I really appreciate that Borrego Health is doing that with young people in this particular part of the Palm Springs area and the Coachella Valley with young folks, right? Hoping that brand loyalty and customer service continue for young people so they can continue to be long-term loyal customers of Borrego Health through like a healthcare lens. But I couldn't have us move on without pointing out those user statistics that were shared in this report.
Yes, and there's two things there with regards to the race, ethnicity that are reported. One, there have been some demographic shifts in the Highland Gateway Estates. There are many Latino families that live there. And the other point of importance is that the clinic is not serving only the Highland Gateway Estates. There are other communities like Coyote Ranch that are north of the Highland Gateway Estates that are coming to the Borrego Clinic to receive services. I think Borrego probably can provide more insight on that, and we will be having conversation with them about it. But they're filling a gap in services that exists throughout the northern area of Palm Springs.
And then that also leads to like the conversation that I think Greg was trying to have with us at the last board meeting, just the dire need of services in that particular area. And he mentioned that the county had just opened up like a X square foot health center in Palm Springs, right? But yet here we have people who would rather come to a mobile unit than like a brand new state of the art. That also should have us have the thinking about these conversations, right? As we think about like our hospital lease agreement, XXX, right? Like if we're thinking about beds, would people rather come to a mobile unit versus like a hospital? This goes to people, the hospital is like stationary, right? Anyways, this just opened up a bunch of wormhole, but this one being, are we really fulfilling what we had requested of Borrego Health and what we had tried to do in partnership with the Black community? For only 6 months, right? That's also the
What's positive about this too is one of the outcomes what we put in the RFP was is to reduce the use of the emergency room as part of their regular primary care help. So by having Borrego there every week and also offering free transportation to their other clinics their standing clinics for other specialty services that the community is taking advantage of quite a bit. So
thank you for that reminder.
Mm-hmm. I just add on the data side to address everything on the race and ethnicity. At the last meeting, I believe it was the 28th of January, Donna and I actually requested zip code level data to see where they're coming from. Unfortunately, we can't have neighborhood level data because that's a little bit too close to not being, to be able to identify specific people, but they said that they would send that down to their data department and work to get it to us in the upcoming weeks and see what they can do as a breakdown for age related as well as just overall.
Great.
Thank you.
Question.
Thanks, Megan. I forgot about that. Thank you.
This is Carmina. I have a question. Is it all current Borrego patients, or is it also it's a mix of new patients? Just curious. Or current patients?
It's actually a mix. They don't. If people have other insurance, that's fine too. But if they don't have insurance and they don't want insurance, that's okay for them as well. Like, but they do try and very much try and get them insurance.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
Okay. Is there any more questions or comments regarding Part B? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to number 5, which is Behavioral Health Initiative, Part A, the Steering Committee Meeting. Who will be providing information regarding the steering committee and its progress?
I can do that. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
So on February 7th, we had our first steering committee meeting as part of our behavioral health initiative. Just as a reminder, the steering committee is chaired by Conrado and Dr. Matthew Chang of Riverside University Health System, and it is comprised of many stakeholder leaders in our community that have taken the opportunity to participate. So in our meeting that we had this week, it was really the first opportunity to update that steering committee on what are the areas of focus for the actual working groups, and also to gain their guidance, the steering committee membership guidance on that focus and that work so that it can inform our continued working group meetings, which will be continuing later on this month. One of the things that was clear is that even though each of the working groups is focused on a different aspect that came out of our 2019 EvalCorp needs assessment, the primary needs really are falling into two areas, which are access and expansion of services that are available. But of course, also what makes that possible is workforce expansion. I mean, it literally impacts all types of improvements and the ability to take advantage of opportunities. So with that in mind, the working groups will continue to focus in those areas. One of the things that also came out of that meeting that we're looking at in terms of workforce expansion is truly, you know, innovative thinking related to ways to create more of a mentorship platform comprised of individuals who have just recently left the field and can be helpful in some capacity while all of our partner organizations are trying to backfill open positions so that they can better serve our Coachella Valley community. So it was a helpful process. And again, that information will just be used to inform our forward work in our working groups.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any questions regarding the information provided about the steering committee?
Yes, more of a train of thought. After reading the GASA's evaluation, DAPs, and then reading all of CREST's proposals today, GASA and DAP, from what I understood, were having trouble hiring people. They had the money for it, they just didn't have the people. Olive Crest is asking for funding to also be able to hire people, some that they already have and then some in the future. My question, and again, really more curiosity of wondering if the district can do this or not, is it possible for us to like set aside money, a different process than like the LOI process, where it's like once you have a short list of candidates for X behavioral health position, then this is like a set aside pool of funds that you can come and draw down from the district. It was just like a random train of thought versus what we're doing now, which is here's the money, good luck finding someone. And if you find someone, great, like you're gonna do wonderful work based off of this like grant proposal that you have to for us. Sort of thinking of like the cart versus the horse or the horse versus the cart. It was just a random question that came up as I was reading through some of these today.
There are 60 vacancies in the Coachella Valley. 60.
Jesus. Okay.
So the issue for many organizations is not the money. It's actually finding professionals that they can recruit, that they're quality, high quality professionals. Sometimes not even high quality. It's just finding professionals that they can hire to fill those positions. Because once you have them, there are mechanisms to draw down money and pay for those positions. Unless, you know, for some nonprofit organizations that are doing the right things and they're serving the uninsured and many folks that there is no compensation for those services. But the challenge is not just having the money to recruit the providers, is finding those providers. And one thing that we have been asking our members of the steering committee and other committees is how can we establish partnerships with schools of psychology, social services, marriage and family therapists, that we can create the rotation, the placement mechanism so that they are exposed to these agencies and that it will become a pipeline to recruit them and retain them here in the Valley. So we're working on it.
Good job. I mean, the other thought was sort of like the conversation that we had a couple months ago about like student loans, and can we set aside a pot to like help attract, right, like paying for student loans, paying for housing, even giving out, this might not be for us, right, but like someone giving out small loans, or I don't know, something. I'm all over the place because I had a lot of different rants. Do these positions need to be certified? Yes, through ours, correct?
Yeah. Ultimately, yes, I'll let Jana answer the question.
I think what we're facing is kind of unprecedented. So you're really seeing just workforce gaps across all of the different behavioral health roles. So you're talking about at the top end, a high need for clinicians and clinical supervisors, psychiatrists, psychologists, and then at the other end, in terms of even more direct care service teams, you're talking about peer specialists and parent partners and family support staff. So it's really created an environment where most organizations are really trying to engage in what can we put on the table to attract someone. What is many of the things, President Borja, that you just mentioned, like paying part of their loans, so loan forgiveness, signing bonuses. And so it's really about what Conrado mentioned. How do we create a platform that can respond to this? And it would be something where you'd have to, it would have to be integrated across agencies, more like a cooperative, and also looking at more of a contingency workforce construct. So people who could work across agencies. And so I think because of what we're facing more than ever, you're now starting to hear agencies think about that. So it used to be competitive. No, I don't want to help that agency. These are my staff. Now it's more about, you have staff. can we have part of them? And so it's really going to present an opportunity, actually, for us, obviously, to assist with that kind of thinking and help with the development of some kind of a, more community-wide platform, because everyone from the Department of Healthcare Services at state level, everyone is putting money into workforce to build out workforce, but it really is about not so much the money as an attractor, it's gonna be the structure. Because employees now, they have real choices. They can work almost or not. And they were forced to work from home, and now they're finding that that was effective. So it's kind of, we're just in an interesting time, but I do think it will end up resulting in opportunities, actually. I'm hopeful.
Sounds like you're all the right team. It's exciting to hear you all think about the gloom and doom, I get it, but also like there's light at the end of the tunnel somewhere, right? Like, se tiene que hacer porque se tiene que hacer. We got to get there because there's like no other way, like present to us, right? Other than getting there. Thank you. I appreciate all of your very thoughtful and smart answers to my questions.
There's also a Senate Committee on Budget and Fiscal Review that was looking at the governor's budget and had budget change proposals specifically for the workforce. They're looking at 296,500,000 for primary care, for nurses, for nurse practitioners, for training for diversity psychiatric residents. So it's pretty comprehensive. I'm hoping maybe that money will be funneled down to whoever the county. But like Janice said, you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have the people there,
Yeah, this conversation has helped further answer the question that I had for all of Crest, right? Like, where is your money coming from? There's plenty of money. So thank you all. Those are all my questions and thoughts on this.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions or comments regarding the steering committee? Hearing none, we'll move on to part B, joint school district superintendents meeting on mental health.
I can talk okay. as well. So last week, we were able to convene a mental health focus meeting with representation from all of our school districts in the form of their superintendents, and also including Riverside County Office of Education. And so that meeting was requested and convened by Conrado, and it was a great opportunity. Once again, it's really the power of collaboration to have them all together talking about what they're currently experiencing, what their needs are. It was really trying to create a structured opportunity for them to be able to share and for us as a district to understand from their perspective, you know, what are they needing in terms of, you know, really being properly equipped to respond to the mental health needs of their students. And of course, that also touches their faculty and staff members in that school environment setting. And so I can just speak for my experience, and Corrado can, of course, take it from there. But it was really helpful, first of all, to know that they responded to the request to meet. So that was important for them to respond to the request to meet from the district. And then secondly, they were just so happy that we were interested in learning more about, you know, what they're trying to deal with so that, you know, we can provide the proper support to their students.
And the impetus of this meeting has been a violence prevention program because of school shootings that have become so prevalent in our society. And we want for sure to avoid that something like that happens in the Coachella Valley. But it's also looking at the trauma-informed programs because we're living in very challenging times, and the school is many times the intersection between communities and access to mental health and behavioral health services. So more of that to come. We will be working with those individuals that are responsible for behavioral health programs at school sites and come up with a plan on how the district can support building a stronger infrastructure and supporting programs that provide better and much broader access to behavioral health preventive services to the students and to their families. In other words, we're trying to be proactive rather than reactive, because many times the schools have so many things in the front burners that if we don't put this thing right in front of their eyes, it's going to be late by the time that we'll see something coming our way for support.
Thank you for the information provided. Does anyone have any questions or comments regarding the information provided?
No, I don't have any. That. Thank you, Carmina.
Okay, thank you, Carmina. Karen, do you have any questions regarding this information that was provided?
None at this moment. Thank you.
Okay, hearing none. So we'll move on to committee member comments. Are there any committee member comments at this time?
No.
Okay, so then we'll move on to adjourn the meeting at 5:49. Our next scheduled meeting is on March 8th, 2022. Thank you all for your attendance and your information. And I hope you all have a nice evening.
Thank you, everyone.
You as well.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.